So, all right, have your Bibles open, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll get right into this afternoon's message. I began this message a couple of weeks ago on Bible facts about salvation, and I said that salvation is important, and it is. You can't get to heaven without it. But salvation is not always understood in its completeness. And I brought the first two points. Matter of fact, I brought all three points of the message just as a little bit of digression. Let me remind you that salvation is a present possession. You have it right now. Now are we the sons of God. Right now we pass from death unto life. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed already, is passed from death unto life. And then I mentioned that salvation is a protected possession for the believer. God does the protecting. We can't protect our own salvation. We'd lose it if it was up to us. Every one of us would lose it. Because the truth is, we're not always what we should be, even though we're a child of God. We don't always behave right. It's just like our children. When we had our kids at home, they would behave good for a while, and then they'd misbehave. We're the same way as God's children. We don't always behave as we should. And so the keeping of our salvation does not depend upon us, but rather it depends upon the power of God. You see, something you have to understand about salvation is it's actually a work of God all the way through. It's nothing we do, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And so we talked about our salvation as a protected possession for the believer. God does the protecting. And then we talked about salvation is a perfecting process in the believer. What God has worked in, we are to work out. In looking at chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, in verse 11, the Bible says, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Here it is. "For the perfecting of the saints." We are in a perfecting process. When God saves us, we begin that perfecting process. The goal of the perfecting process is to be like Jesus. The Bible says we're to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So when we get saved, the perfecting process is God is perfecting us on a daily basis to live for God, and our eventual goal is to be like Jesus. You ought to be more like Jesus than you were when you first got saved. If you are not, then you are not growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be more mature as Christians now than we were when we first got saved, even more than we were a year ago. We ought to be constantly being perfected, the Bible says. And in verse 11 it says, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the gifts to the local church to help us in this perfecting process. I am helping perfect you. Okay? That's basically what it amounts to. We talked about spiritual gifts. That's what you have to help build the church. But the gifts to the church are pastors, evangelists, Bible teachers. We are the gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. And so the goal for the believer is to be like Jesus. If you'll notice, please, verse 13, chapter 4. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man." Now, perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect, but it means till we all come into a spiritual Christian. You see, there's three kinds of people in the world. There is the natural man who is not saved. There is the carnal Christian who is saved but not living for Christ, not growing in grace. Then there is the spiritual Christian that is saved and that is behaving like Jesus would have us behave. So we're working towards that. After we get saved, we're working towards becoming what God wants us to be. To be the perfect man means the mature woman or mature man that is a spiritual Christian. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we're growing in grace, and our target is to be like Jesus, and we're moving towards that. That's what we're working for. We're already saved. See, a lot of people have it turned around. They think we're working to get saved. No, we're already saved, and we are conforming, being conformed to the image of God's dear Son as we grow in grace. And that's what it means when it talks about the perfect man. And to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is again. Our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. He said, "Preacher, I can't be like Jesus Christ. Nobody can be like Jesus Christ." Well, that's your goal, though. That's your goal. If you want to find out what Jesus Christ is like, read the four Gospels. That means you're going to have to love your enemies. Oh, now wait a minute. I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, if you're going to be like Jesus, he said, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you, people that are mean to you. What do? You pray for them. I don't think you pray for them for God to kill them. I think you ought to pray for God might convert them or God might deal with their hearts. And if they're not saved, for them to be saved. But the point I'm wanting to make is the goal is to be like Jesus. And to do that, we've got to grow. I mentioned last time it requires food. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. So the salvation is a perfecting process. We are growing in grace. And then it requires instruction. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. See, that's spiritual growth. That's a mature Christian. That's a spiritual Christian thoroughly furnished into all good works. So when we get saved, we begin, the perfecting process takes place inside us. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to take over our body and our minds, we are being perfected. We can't do it in our own power. If we say, "Well, I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to do the very best I can," you'll fail. You'll fail. The only thing you can do is surrender to the Holy Spirit that is inside you, that is perfect, and say, "Holy Spirit, you correct me. You help me to grow in grace. I'm going to let you have full control." And as you do that, the perfecting process will take place. And so it requires instruction. It requires exercise. Philippians 2:12, if you'll take a look at that for a moment. It's just the next book over. Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And verse 13 tells us that God has worked it in. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So if we're going to grow in grace and the perfecting process take place in our lives, then we need to work out what the Holy Spirit has put in. Okay? And it requires exercise. Well, growth requires exercise. Physical growth does. Requires exercise. Requires food. All these things are the same thing. Requires instruction. If you want your child to grow mentally, then you teach them, and then you put them in a school. Same thing spiritually. If we're to grow spiritually, it'll require food, instruction, exercise. And then it requires rest. Requires rest. Turn your Bibles to John 15 for just a moment. Requires rest. You know, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But now we're talking about spiritual growth. We've got rest. When we got saved, we rested in Christ. Okay? When you got saved, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you rested your life in Christ. He is our ark of safety. You understand that? We "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He gave me rest when I got saved. Rest in the sense that I'm putting my complete trust and rest in Him. But after we get saved, this perfecting process requires production. What do you mean by that? Well, look at John 15, verse 1. "I am the vine, I am the true vine," Jesus says. If you've got John 51, say amen. All right, you got it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, he's overseeing everything. Look, please, if you will, at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. Notice that. The branch, that's you and me, cannot bear fruit of itself. Now, you can take a grapevine out here, and you can just take the vine and you can plant it. It's not going to produce anything. It'll only produce if it's attached to the vine. All right? That's the illustration given here. Now, watch this. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. We're the branches, Christ is the vine. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Notice he says here, so shall you be my disciples, not so shall you be my children. We're talking about discipleship here. You see, when you get saved, you are now a disciple. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. It requires you to be disciplined as a believer if you're going to produce for God. And you can't do it unless you abide in the vine. What's that mean? What does it mean? It means this, that after you get saved, you have the responsibility to stay right there in the vine and let Jesus produce the fruit from your life. You're just a vine out there. But you're attached to Jesus, and you must allow Him. Abide means to stay right with Christ. He's in you, you're saved, but a lot of Christians never produce fruit because they try to do it on their own. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. How do we produce fruit in our Christian lives? How does the perfecting process take place? By abiding in the vine. You take someone that, let me give you an example I'm talking about. You take someone that says they're saved, and they don't go to church, they don't read their Bibles, they don't pray. First of all, I've got a doubt that they're saved. They're definitely not going to produce fruit. You know why? Because they're not abiding in the vine. It takes discipline to do that. It takes discipline to make yourself read the Bible when you don't feel like reading the Bible. It takes discipline to pray when you don't feel like praying. It takes discipline to go to church when you don't necessarily feel like going to church. In other words, these are spiritual duties that if you want to be productive and you want the perfecting process to take place and become more like Jesus, you've got to do some things. All right? And the first thing is you've got to stay in the vine. You've got to let Jesus produce these, just like grapes are produced because they're attached to the vine, and we're the branches, then we'll produce fruit of the Spirit in our lives if we abide in the vine. I know it may sound confusing to you, but a lot of Christians don't abide in the vine, and they wonder why they don't do anything for God or become more like Jesus. It's because they're not abiding in the vine. That's how you get your production. That's how you do something. Of course, Jesus says, without me, it's my will you bring forth much fruit. The objective, see, is to produce fruit, not salvation. This is kind of heavy on a Sunday afternoon when everybody's tired, I know. But when you get saved, the objective after you get saved is not work to be saved, it's work to produce fruit. Do you see that? And some people that never produce fruit are vines that they're not really attached to the main vine. They don't really have the Holy Spirit working through them. And so it requires production. God expects us to produce. God saves us to produce. If you're not producing, by the way, I've said this before. The happiest Christian in this church is the Christian that's working, doing something for God. They're abiding in the vine, and because they're abiding, God is using them, and they're producing love, they're producing patience, they're producing all these the nine fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, you can read that, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. All these things will be produced in a believer that is doing something for God, that is abiding in the vine, so God can produce this spiritual fruit in your life.
And that's what it's all about. I think Hannah's trying to get in and can't get in. And she's probably headed the other direction. So let's get these three things, all right? Salvation is a perfecting process in the believer. The goal is to be like Jesus. Then you got the growth of the believer. And when you grow in grace, you'll produce fruit by abiding in the vine. And last of all, the glorification of the believer. The glorification. Look in your Bibles in Romans chapter 8. And look, please, if you will, at verse 30. In Romans 8, verse 30, the Bible says, page 1202, if you have a Scofield Bible, Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that's God, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now notice the progression there. And somebody says, well, I don't believe in predestination. You've got to believe in it. It's in the Bible. Well, I don't believe in the free will of man. You've got to believe it. It's in the Bible. I come to a conclusion several years ago. They're both in the Bible. They're both true. Predestination is God's part. I'm not going to try to figure out why he chooses some and why he doesn't choose others. That's his business. My business is he has given me the gift of choice. And if he's chosen me, fine. But I know about the gift of choice because that's up to me. So don't try to figure all this out. Just accept it. Predestination is a Bible truth. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. Justification means got saved. God predestined us to be saved. We got saved because we chose Christ. All right? And one of these days, we're going to be glorified. It's all of God. What is glorification? Glorification is when we get our resurrected body. That's glorification. Right now, our spirit and soul is saved. You are body, soul, and spirit. When you got saved, your soul and spirit got saved. They became born again, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you're still in this old body of clay. And this old body of clay can sin. Can it? Mine can. I don't know about yours, but mine can. But one of these days, the perfecting process will be complete in me. Y'all stay with me now. When I got saved, I begin the perfecting process. My goal is to be like Jesus. And so as I grow in grace and I grow in grace, I'm not being more saved all the time. I'm saved all the time, but I'm being productive for God. But then one of these days, I'm going to be glorified. When's that going to happen? Well, now are we the sons of God. Right now, we're all the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we shall see Him, that's speaking of when Jesus comes to get us, when we shall see Him, we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. And so, the day is coming when this body is going to be perfect. Right now, this body, that's glorification. All right? Right now, it's not perfect. But I am in a perfecting process of living and being like Jesus, and then one of these days, if I die, I'm promised that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so ever shall we be the Lord. I am promised glorification. Glorification for the believer, listen to this, glorification is guaranteed. I'm guaranteed that I'm going to be glorified. My body's going to be transformed into a body that will never die again. And you've got the same promise. Look at Philippians 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. Here's what it says. For our conversation, page 1260. For our conversation, the word means our life, our lifestyle. Our conversation is in heaven. Oh, really? I thought I was talking down here on earth. Our conversation is in heaven. Didn't say our conversation one day will be in heaven. It says it is right now. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that to be kind of interesting. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. So we ought to be living. Now listen, what does that all mean? It means, everybody look at me. It means we ought to be living right now like we were in heaven. Because our conversation is in heaven. All right? We should be different. Now are we the sons of God. We're in this perfecting process. Now watch this. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then we get into future. Who shall change our vile body. I don't know about your body, but mine's vile. I get sick. Hair falls out. Teeth falls out. I've got to go to the dentist tomorrow and get a tooth filled. Why? Because this body is dying. My body is in the process of dying. But the good news is I'm going to get a new one. And it's guaranteed. It's not a hope so pie in the sky. The Bible says it's guaranteed. Who shall change, not maybe change, but who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His, what? Glorious body. Now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall see Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, into a glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things into Himself. So the point that I'm making here is that we are promised glorification. You see, our goal is to be like Jesus. That's our goal. Then our Christian growth is to move towards that goal. We're already saved. We're already a child of God. Okay? He's already saved us. But our goal is to be like Jesus. And one day we will literally be like Jesus in the body. Not just the soul and spirit, but the body. What was Jesus' body like? Well, we all know that He had a resurrected body. We all know that He could appear and disappear. He had that ability. We know that He could walk through walls without even opening a door. Okay? We also know that He could fly. How many's ever had a dream where they could fly, besides me? Did you know Jesus could fly? Read it for yourself. Acts chapter 1, as they beheld Him, He began to lift up off the ground, and they watched Him as He went out of sight. I know this is a crude illustration, but we're going to be like supermen and superwomen in our glorified body. That's right. Time and space will mean nothing to us. It didn't to Jesus. Suddenly the two men were walking on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden He appeared. It's out of nowhere. Started talking to them, and they talked about, and He began to open their eyes and for them to see who He was and whatever. And they were going to go home and invited Him to come home and eat with them, and all of a sudden He's gone. Where'd He go? I don't understand it, but this glorified body that we are all promised that we're going to get when Jesus comes is going to be supernatural. It'll not be susceptible to gravity, to time, to space. It's a super body, and it's guaranteed. Again, it's guaranteed on the authority of God's Word. If we don't get it, then God has lied to us. It's that simple. And so, but in the meantime, we are growing. The perfecting process is taking us. In other words, we're practicing right now to be like Jesus. And finally, one day, we will be not only in spirit and soul, but in body. Now, if you have any questions.